So NBA Finals are tonight. The Cavs are in there. We can finally end this lifelong losing streak for Cleveland, for us. How do you feel? You kind of expect them to lose, don't you?
Yeah, I'm terrified.
Yeah. So, but hey, you know, we can drink during it. That'll be fun. Maybe they'll win. Maybe they'll lose and our dreams will be shattered. And we'll be sad forever. Cue the music. To the Exploding Barrel Podcast for June 4th, 2015. This is Mike Minotti, and I am joined by my brother, Edge Guy.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good.
There's a lot of fun stuff to talk about today. I'm excited for this show.
Getting E3.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
It is fun. It's like the new E3 strategy is to announce a lot of things before it happens and kind of show it there.
Which I'm
kind
of cool with.
It's all right. There's usually still stuff there anyways. It's fine for me because, like, in the home version, the announcement is the most exciting thing, but, you know, I go, so playing the stuff is kind of, you know,
right.
Nice. Yeah. Anyway, so let's start with Fallout. That's kind of the big news, huh?
Yeah, so, I mean, shocking no one, Fallout 4 is announced in Boston, as all the rumors seem to suggest, and that's kind of what we know.
Yeah, well, it seems like Dog Meat is back and has a big role. And it seems like your main character is actually going to talk this time, like the player character.
Yeah, he did in the trailer, so.
Right, so that's kind of different for Bethesda.
Yeah, it's a big departure.
But the landscapes look really cool. There's like this neon-filled shanty town.
Yeah.
That I kind of thought was really cool. It is kind of interesting, though, because in this age of kind of like really doctored up trailers, this trailer seemed very honest, almost to a fault, because like you see kind of that typical Bethesda jankiness in the
character
model.
Yeah, the animation's not super great. The dog is just flat textured. There's no fur.
Yeah, that's kind of weird in this new generation that this dog kind of looks like a PlayStation 3 dog.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely... I wondered this going into it, and it's pretty clear to me it's the Skyrim engine just modified.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I never understood, like... You know, you always see those mods of, like, Skyrim and Fallout 3 and Oblivion where they, like... download some weird thing that changes the lighting and the game looks incredible.
Yeah.
Can't they, like, turn that on?
I don't know how it works. Yeah, it is kind of weird. It is weird, but... I mean, Fallout 3 wasn't exactly a graphical masterpiece either. Especially when... with these open-world games are huge. They have a lot of other resources. Yeah, Bethesda's never been great at character models. Especially, like, that human in his blue jumpsuit. He just looks, like, plasticky.
Right. Which you could almost maybe call an art style, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But like you said, as has been the case in all their games, their landscapes are second to none.
Yeah.
The environments. And I think that's more important
for
the kind of games they tend to make.
No, yeah, I agree for sure. So, yeah, I'm definitely super excited. I love Fallout 3. I love New Vegas,
great.
Too. But, yeah, so... the idea of like a new Fallout. It is interesting that it seems like you think that's like the prologue. You actually do play kind of pre nuclear detonation a little bit.
Kind of did in 3. It was fake, but
well, yeah. But I think maybe more real this time. But yeah, it'll be exciting to see more. Do you think this is a 2015 release?
So everything seems to indicate. A lot of retail listings have an October date that is even on Bethesda's web store.
Right.
I mean, it could be the case, because, I mean, let's face it, it'll be going on 4 years since Skyrim. Maybe this is, like, what we've all been saying we want, where a developer chooses not to announce a game until it's pretty close to ready, so it can actually come out.
Yeah, I think Skyrim was just about a year from release to coming out, because I think it was announced at the VGA Awards.
Yeah.
And it came out, like, that next November, so that was pretty short. I feel bad harping on the graphics again, but, and again, that's what I'm saying, but it's interesting, like... because, like you said, 4 years. When you look at this trailer and you kind of look at that first Skyrim trailer, do you see, like, that 4 year... 4 years isn't what it used to be.
No.
And I did a story before where it was, you know, Ocarina of Time and Wind Waker were 4 years apart.
Right.
Right? This is, you know, we're in the era of diminishing returns.
That's okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, super exciting. So, hope to see more of that soon.
Yes. So, we've often talked about what could Sony possibly release this holiday.
Yeah, speaking of rumors finally coming true.
Yeah. The Uncharted Nathan Drake collection is coming in October to the PS4. It's the single-player mode from the first three Uncharted games. Beta access to Uncharted 4. The games will be enhanced to 1080p, 60 frames per second, with new lighting, character models. should be pretty good. Character. Mm. Yeah, it, honestly, I would like to see. I hope they tweak the gameplay of the first game to kind of better match the other two.
Maybe, I don't know. I think there's something to be said to kind of letting something kind of speak for what it was. Look, Uncharted 1 was a great game.
So. Oh, I understand. Do you think that we'll be using our DualShock 4 to balance on log still?
You know what? If you have to do that for 10 seconds, because that's what you did in 2007, whatever.
All right. I'm also adding photo mode. I don't know if I mentioned it.
I mean, I don't think you'll be using the DualShock to like, throw grenades anymore, if that's what you're talking about.
Right. That's fine.
So
I mean,
that's like, fine. Maybe some small things.
Is the point to be super faithful, or... Are they going to tweak it a bit?
Well, yeah, I don't know. But, man, I'm excited for this. You know, everyone knows I love Uncharted.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because, like, especially, like, my more professional or more, like, outspoken gaming career has kind of lined up with that. Because Uncharted 1 came out in 2007, right when we started this podcast.
Yeah.
The first story I wrote that really kind of got big attention on Bitmob was... a story I wrote before Uncharted 2 came out. I was like, Uncharted 2 is already Game of the Year, and it was like a comedy piece. That was like the first story that got noticed, and I was like, kind of, you know, got my first, like, oh, this is fun. I'll do this. So, yeah, and Uncharted 2, like, I think might be the best game made in the last 10 years. It'll be interesting how it holds up. But it's like, at the time, that experience of playing on Uncharted 2 was just mind-blowing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like really... creating the whole set piece idea of gaming, and yeah, it's gonna be. And I've been wanting to replay these, and the idea of that 60 frames per second, and
yeah,
I can't wait.
Nice.
It'll just be nice to have these games on PlayStation 4, because I am at that point where like I don't even like turning on
the PS3.
That's the weird thing about the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, more so than like when the other systems became old, there was still kind of like an old charm to them. I just like don't like using those systems.
Well, you know why? Because
weird.
The PS3 360 generation became very UI-driven.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you didn't just turn on
this
thing to get
time.
To a game. And now those UIs are slow, they're clunky, they're outdated.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. It's like turning on a computer and using Windows 95.
Right, yeah. Yes.
I mean, my PS3 and 360 are still in Cranberry. I didn't have room to pack them when I moved. I was like, whatever. I'll get them later.
But this, I think this does help out their holiday schedule a little bit.
Oh, sure.
Isn't it funny that it is literally called... Uncharted, the Nathan Drake collection, like perfectly mirroring Halo, the Master Chief.
But it's not like Halo, where there was those couple of Halo games that didn't star Master Chief.
And this isn't the complete Nathan Drake collection. You're not getting Golden Abyss in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the 20. So there's no real multiplayer mode except for the beta for Uncharted 4.
Yeah, because it makes sense because it's only going to be a few months till 4 comes out, and then it'll launch you splitting the
multiplayer. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Audience.
I was wondering because I didn't think they were going to do like Halo where they try to combine all, but I was wondering if maybe it'll just have the Uncharted 3, which was a fun multiplayer mode actually. But yeah, muy excited.
You know, some of the game announcement we should talk about real quick.
What?
XCOM 2.
Yeah.
Coming to the PC.
The interesting thing about this, that's the interesting thing to me is that it's a PC exclusive, at least at first.
I mean, come on, the last XCOM came to iPad and iPhone. I think we'll see this on other platforms down the line.
XCOM was a fucking... So it sounds kind of like this is going from a XCOM fails timeline.
Yeah, it is. It is. Like, the aliens, they've taken over, but they're not like... It's not like they're like worked the salt mines. Like they're just kind of like, we're your bosses now. Go about your lives. And this like the XCOM organization is now trying to like topple the alien regime.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
So the other big news this week that's not a game announcement, Steam is now offering refunds. So here's how it works: you buy a game on Steam, as long as you have owned it for less than 14 days and spent less than 2 hours playing it. You can get a refund.
Interesting.
They'll monitor it so they feel like you're abusing it, then you won't be allowed to do it anymore.
It's probably a much more welcomed feature than paying for mods, huh?
People are upset.
Why?
Mike, what do we do about the independent developers who make a game that's less than 2 hours long? People are going to buy their game, beat it, and return it. And not even that, they're going to take the trading cards they got and sell them for 10 cents a pop on the Steam market.
No,
they're going to make 50
they're
cents.
They're making a profit on these poor
That's
people.
Literally the complaint against us. I'm like, you know what?
He's lost.
Everyone's like, it's disrespectful to the independent developers because it's Valve saying that real games are so long that 2 hours is just a drop in the bucket.
Oh,
fuck
no.
Off. Relax. Everyone just...
Whatever.
GOG's been doing refunds for over a year now. No one said the same thing about that.
Right.
Oh. I, for one thing, it's great. You know, you buy a game, you're like, wow, this runs like garbage
right.
on my computer.
That's
Let's
true.
Return
that's
it.
What I say. Yeah, it's
or
kind of a
buy a game, wow, it's Assassin's Creed Unity and the faces are disappearing. I'm returning it.
I think that is actually the best example where this will help is just, like, being able to see if it'll run on your computer. Yeah. That's good.
Well, and you know, everyone complains, like, well, you know, Assassin's Creed Unity is broken. I should be able to return it, but, you know, I can't return video games. Well, now you can.
Yeah.
It's great. Actually, if anything, this will hopefully help developers, like, not put out broken games.
Yeah, right.
At least on PC. So, yeah, any other news you want to talk about?
Yeah, that Star Wars thing, remember?
Yes. I was setting up for it.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, Disney kind of announced the next mobile Star Wars game being developed by Kabam's RPG division.
Kablam.
Kablam?
Yeah, there's an L.
Oh. Well, now I need to check my story and make... I don't think there's an L.
Unless Kotaku wrote it wrong.
I don't think... I think it's just called Kabam.
Oh, then Kotaku fucked up.
But maybe not. Maybe I'm...
Oh, you're right. It's Kabam.
Ha! 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 I doubted myself. Anyway, it's called Star Wars Uprising, and it's going to be like an action role-playing game, kind of like a Diablo-esque experience. The really interesting thing about, though, is that it's set after Return of the Jedi. So this is our first, like, Star Wars game in the new continuity that's set after the movies.
Yeah, comics have already gone into this time period. Books haven't yet. So yeah, this is definitely the first gaming to go into the...
I thought the comics have been, like, in between New Hope and Empire Strikes
Back. No, there's a Star Wars comic that is after Return of the Jedi. I won't spoil what it is. I could tell you later if you want, but some crazy thing happened in this month's issue.
I heard about that.
Okay. Now has me kind of wanting to go read them.
I thought, okay. Interesting. This thing takes place in, like, a specific sector of the galaxy that contains Hoth and Bespin.
Among other planets.
And, like, the idea is that the kind of Imperial governor there, as soon as the Emperor is killed, just kind of blockades the sector.
Cuts off communications.
Cuts the rebellion out and, like, basically just trying to, like, stop people from spreading the news that the Emperor is dead.
Which, and you kind of brought this up in your interview, because there is the scene at the end of Return of the Jedi that shows them celebrating in Cloud City. So, like... Obviously, word kind of got out.
Right. I think it's more of like a don't talk. Like, everyone probably knows, but like, don't talk about it, maybe. But so, and you're going to like make your own character, and you're kind of like a part of like this inner rebellion that's trying to find out the truth or, you know, whatever. So, yeah, free to play. They're making it sound like the monetization is really more about like extra rules for loots and cosmetic things. Mm-hmm. So, like, you can go play the game and hope for something to drop, or you can just buy something. I don't think you buy something specifically, but it's like...
It sounded like you were buying rolls still. Like, you weren't...
Yeah, you know, you're not literally buying this item, you're buying a chance for the item. Which, which is, you know, I kind of been seeing that becoming popular with these kind of things. Other nice thing, too, is, like, it's coming in chapters, and, like, each chapter will kind of be its own story. So start with chapter 1 and 2, so you'll get a complete narrative there, mm-hmm. and then they'll kind of release more chapters.
What I liked is it sounds like the way the game's being broken up into two chunks, where there's, like... kind of the dungeon running part of it, which is more straight up just action,
not
killing,
very story-focused.
Loot, and then like going to town, which is where all the story and character development happens. Because this is ex BioWare and Diablo guys, so it almost sounds like a kind of interesting mix of the two.
Yeah, and I'm kind of a skeptic with mobile, but this sounds pretty interesting. It sounds like they're putting a lot into it. Even just like this artwork that they've released of the game looks really nice.
Yeah, they put up like a CG teaser trailer.
Yeah, they have like this like poster for it that kind of looks like the old Star Wars posters.
Yeah.
Another cool thing too is just talking about the expanding universe stuff, because the guy I was talking to, Erickson, let me remember his first name. He was the creative director on
The Old Republic, right?
The Old Republic, Daniel Erickson.
Yeah.
So he ended up, before he worked on Dragon Age, he was a BioWare guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's worked on the expanded universe before. And he says that Disney's, you know, telling them, you know, it's okay to try to bring in some of those expanded universe ideas.
Yeah, that's always been their stance on like, all the stuff that they now consider legends. It technically doesn't count, but it's available for the creators to use, and then it does count. Like a good example was in one of the books, they talk about this compound called Thorolide, which is like it's a certain type of metal alloy that's useful for Star Destroyers. Like, that's from the expanded universe. They brought it into the canon.
Right.
That's so, like a basic example.
Yeah. So, like, I don't think we're going to see like Mara Jade or something like that extreme.
I mean,
in
theory, Mara Jade could come back and she might be completely different. But, like, that's like the rule. Like, she doesn't exist until she shows up somewhere.
Yeah. That's cool. But, yeah, this looks really interesting.
Yeah. I like that, you know, he talks. It's nice to see how much serious attention and detail is being put on the entire Star Wars IP, down to a free-to-play mobile game and what they're allowed and not allowed to do with settings and characters and story. Like, it's cool to see that.
Yeah.
I just wonder, like, my only hesitation is, like, how deep of an action RPG can you make on a touchscreen? Like when you first told me about this, you said it's kind of like Marvel's 2015, but Star Wars. But even like that, like, I can't quite apply it to a touchscreen.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I guess we kind of have to
wait. Like, I hope, like, the gameplay is just there, kind of matches, you know?
Yeah. We'll see. But yeah, this is interesting. It's on my radar.
Oh, for sure. I'm, you know, super Star Wars mode.
Yeah, right. So having this, yeah, this is kind of nice. What else? The Hearthstone thing?
Yeah, so they, like, literally just announced this before we started recording. They're bringing, like, hero skins to Hearthstone. So the first one they announced is Magni Bronzebeard. And he's a replacement for the warrior, Grommash Hellscream.
Garrosh.
And,
you loser.
No. So, like, basically what it does is it replaces the hero portrait with the Magni, and it's, like, animated, kind of like when you get, like, a gold card in the game. When you activate his hero power, it has, like, a cool custom animation. He obviously has all new emote lines and everything like that. And he says something special when he enters the battle, too. It's, like, a bigger deal when he comes on. And then you get a card back. So they're a little vague on this in the announcement. Like, it shows a screenshot that says new heroes, plural, for $9.99.
I think there's going to be, like, a secondary hero for almost every class.
Yeah, but, like, I wonder if you can, like, buy them all individually or buy the whole set. I mean, so basically this is just skins for the game.
Yeah, it's interesting.
You know, it's like buying a new outfit for your character in Heroes.
I think it's kind of neat. It's not, like, as I was saying, at first I was like, oh, it's like a new hero. It's not. It's the same hero power.
Yeah, everything.
The same cards.
Gameplay-wise is exactly
right.
The same.
Gameplay-wise, it doesn't change it, which is nice because it's a thing that you can buy, you know.
Yeah, because like, it seems like, too, there's no in-game gold way to buy it. It's only money.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, again, like the skins in Heroes of the Storm. They're the same way.
I do hope we eventually get, like, the Death Knights and Monks in there.
Yeah, like new hero classes.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, whenever they do add new heroes, they need to let you have more than 9 decks in the game, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't understand why there is a limit, but whatever. It's cool, too, because, like, now that Heroes of the Storm is actually out, there's a lot of, like, cross...
Yeah, like, I got a Heroes of the Storm card back.
Because you're level 12, and then you get, like, a Hearthstone card to ride if you get 100 wins. And if you're level 100 in Warcraft, you get a mount and heroes, and that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's neat how that stuff's kind of working together. All right. Well, what you been playing?
Well, let's stick with Heroes of the Storm since it came out.
Yeah, we've been playing with each other some, which has been fun.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, the release didn't really, like, signify anything crazy happening aside from a new hero, Johanna, the Crusader from Diablo 3.
Yeah.
But, I think it's the first time we've actually played it together when we played this week,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it's what I like about Heroes, there are, like, class roles, but they're a lot more fluid.
It's not nearly as intense, yeah.
I mean, I play a lot as Tyrande, who's a support. I could take fools out, you know? Like,
yeah.
Whereas you would never do that in another MOBA.
Because of the level specials, the game is much more focused on group fights. Because it gets you out of that laning phase very early. I mean,
very often, depending on the map, sometimes it starts with a group fight.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
There's no real jungler anymore. That role is gone.
You pretty much, yeah.
Right. So a lot of it is, you know, you have, like, a warrior, and you have, you know, your, what you used to call AD carries, your, you know, assassins, what they call them here, and specialists and stuff. But yeah, it's all kind of doing. Basically, all these classes aren't really worth much unless they can kill people. You know, like Gazlo, I play, he's cool because, like, he's pretty good at destroying forts and stuff, and that can help. But even again, because the specials will often kind of help take care of that, the most important thing is getting the level specials.
Yeah.
More so than pushing a lane and doing a lot of this other stuff. But yeah, I've been enjoying it a lot. I've been playing more Witcher 3, and I feel like I'm really kind of hitting my stride in the game now.
Well, that's good.
We've been, like, a lot of things, like, maybe I didn't like so much, like some of the inventory management. Like, I've got a good hold on that.
Mm-hmm.
It's all been fun. Again, the quality of the quests is really good. Like, the side quests and how there's a lot of parity there with the main quests and stuff like that. I've been enjoying Witcher a lot. I watched the Metroid 2 speedrun. I've been in a big, big speedrun watching phase. I watched Mario 2, then Lost Levels, and those are each like, you know, 10 minutes long. But then the Metroid 2 speedrun was like 1 hour, 10 minutes long. It was interesting because I never played Metroid 2, and I feel like at this point it's probably just more fun to watch someone play it than to actually play it. So yeah, it was fun. What else?
Well, I'm on the Splatoon kick, so I know you went on and on about the single player. I've yet to try it.
God.
Well, I've only played it twice, and the one time I played, our brother Chris was actually online, so we're like, oh, great, let's play together. So here's my review of Splatoon. It's a brilliant game wrapped up in Nintendo's bullshit. And it's, I mean, okay, so the game itself, it's super fun. It's like a great take on a shooter. Mm-hmm. The traversal mechanics are fun. The whole, like, you know, covering ink is more important than getting kills. Because even Chris is like, oh, I gotta get the kills. I'm like, kills don't matter. This is why you're losing every match. So, like, that's all fantastic. But every time you turn on the game, I gotta sit there and watch these two fucking news anchors.
So, apparently you can't skip that.
How?
You have to hold LZ and RZ at the same time. No one.
What the fuck?
I know. Chris just posted or just sent us me a message. And I'm like, oh, I would have liked to have known that.
Yeah, why don't they? Because it takes
forever.
It's like Animal Crossing text going across the screen, a bunch of bad Nintendo puns, because they make bad puns.
I like Nintendo puns.
Yeah, but they're the same charm. Every time.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they're funny.
Here's the two maps. Now here's the two rank play maps. And yeah, real quick, we talk about how fucking dumb that is.
That's the thing that bothers me the most: is the idea that there's only two maps.
But
in
not
a
only that, Chris and I played at like maybe a dozen matches that night. We only ever played the one map once, and the other time we played the other one every time. I'm like, can't it be 50-50?
I don't understand why, like. There's only six maps. Just put them all in the rotation.
Well, then, I guess 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time is when the next rotation starts.
Yeah.
They interrupt your game, kick you out of your lobby, bring up the two anchors again.
Wait, mid-game?
Not mid-game, but like after the round's over.
Yeah.
But then you have to go back into matchmaking.
Yeah,
and here's the thing. Playing with your friends is so hard in this game.
It is.
Because
you can't make a party.
The only way you can do it is to like coordinate. Okay, I'm going to go into the queue, then you click the join me thing, so you get in before the room fills. But there's no voice chat, so of course we're just on Skype on our phones.
Do you kind of get the feeling that like Nintendo NX will have like an incredible Splatoon 2?
Maybe.
With like matchmaking, like parties.
Like I said, we played a dozen games. We were on the same team once.
Yeah, it's weird.
Like, why is that so hard? I've been able to play a game with my friends since Quake. Like, this shouldn't be that hard to do. I mean, like I said, the game itself is brilliant and fun. It's just the Nintendo crap around it. Ugh. Going through that town is cumbersome.
I like the town.
I just want a menu.
You can just click on the things on your touchscreen.
But even like when you hit the like start button to go to like the inventory screen, it like resets you back to the middle of the town.
But it doesn't matter where you're in the town. You can just click on the things on the touchscreen.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
So
they don't communicate these things. So I don't blame you.
But we also played last night. I was over at his place. We did the one-on-one mode you could play where one person's on a TV with like a classic controller and the other one's on the gamepad.
Yeah.
The way that works is every so often balloons spawn in a concentrated area and there's an indicator to show you where that spot's going to be. So it's about popping the balloons. And when you splat the other player, they lose points. Mm. So what you end up doing is you'll try to rush to get to where the balloons are going to spawn first and cover it with your paint so that you can go into squid mode and like ambush the other guy when he gets there because you can't really see him.
Yeah.
So you're like setting up all these ambushes and sneaking around each other. Surprisingly, really, really fun.
Yes,
like, I was really impressed with that.
Super fun. Anything else you play you want to talk about, or can I move on to something else?
I think that's it for me.
You want to hear the first games that are inducted into the World Video Game Hall of Fame?
Sure.
So there's seven here. First, the first round inductees. So these are, you know, the important games. Let's see if you agree with these. Not chronological, but one is Pong.
Okay, sure.
Yes, Pong. Two, Pac-Man.
Sure.
Three, Pokemon Red, Green, Blue.
Okay.
Yeah. Doom.
Sure.
Do you think that's, because that's like the first shooter. Is that, when you think the one shooter you can induct, is that it, you think?
If we're going like kind of more classic games, yeah.
I guess. It is kind of interesting because it was the most popular, but like, it wasn't first or anything like that. But I think it's a fair choice. Tetris.
Okay.
The Sims.
No.
That's the only...
The Sims was, like the biggest deal in 1998, but, like, that... I don't know, like, they, you know, they're on Sims 4. It's not like you really hear about it. I'm sure it makes money still, but it's not, like, the cultural zeitgeist it once was.
And then the last one, Legend of Zelda.
Sure.
So it seems like everything's pretty good except for The Sims.
Yeah. Sims, I think I would put, like, Mario in there instead, maybe.
Oh, and you know what? I'm, like, way wrong on this.
Oh?
What I'm just reading to you is just Dean's votes.
Wow, Mike, way to read. So what's actually in the top seven? And Dean, you're wrong about The Sims.
Right. One second. Okay, here's what they actually are.
Okay.
Pong.
Okay.
Pac-Man.
Okay.
Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, there you go.
Tetris.
Yeah.
Doom.
Yeah.
And World of Warcraft.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, that's better?
That's only six.
Well, it is only six.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, Mario's good. I think World of Warcraft deserves a spot at this point.
All right.
Why did D not vote for Mario?
He must be a communist.
Good. Dean was trolling me so hard. We had some sort of, like, group message at work about Mega Man or for some reason. He's just like, what is Mega Man? He's just like, acting like he didn't even know, just to get at me. Love Mega Man. All right, let's get to the releases.
Okay.
So this week we had Massive Chalice finally came out.
Yeah, it's free for Xbox Live Gold, so check that out soon.
Hatred. So maybe we can all stop talking about that now. Heroes of the Storm is officially out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the big stuff. So that'll do it. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. You can find us next week right here. In the meantime, go to evpodcast.com, find all of our old shows. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. You can go to the iTunes Music Store and leave us a review. And that's it. Once again, we'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.